This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hour number two of the Fan Evening Show tonight. We're taking you up until the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call at 10:35 on KDKA Plus and simulcasting right here on the Fan. Jack Hillgrove with you. Until then, being joined now by PennLive.com's Nick Faribault, covering the Pittsburgh Steelers, joins us pretty much every time I'm on the air, and he also joins Donnie Football. I know he was on with Donnie last night, so Nick, thanks for pulling double duty, man. I'll ask you right up front, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields in Vegas?
I think it's going to be Fields. After what we heard Mike T say this week, it doesn't mean that I don't think Russ isn't maybe going to start eventually. I could see that happening. But let's be real. The way that he worded it, Wilson is working with the twos so as to not disrupt Justin Fields with the ones.
Yeah.
That wording is pretty specific to me. I think what we could see this week is no declaration on who the starting quarterback will be for the future, but Russell Wilson finally maybe being active as the backup. That's what I think we might see this week. And then next week's when you finally get the whole, you know, okay, this guy's the quarterback who's going to start, barring injury, et cetera, et cetera. But I think we're still maybe a week away from that because, like, I mean, he said, like, a lot of the language he used about Russ, hope he pulls off a full practice. Like, it wasn't exactly like, oh, he's going to be back, and et cetera, et cetera. He was running on an anti-gravity treadmill on Saturday on his Instagram, Russell Wilson was, so he wasn't even putting full weight on the calf yet. He hasn't done a single rollout. I haven't seen him sprint once. He's got hurdles to clear before I think they're going to throw him in there as a starter.
What's an anti-gravity treadmill?
It's basically a treadmill that takes off the weight of, so say you have something like a strained calf, when you click down on a treadmill, right, all of the impact goes through your legs.
Okay.
Right? And it puts the full flexion on the muscle. Basically, it's a lighter version. So it's like you're running on, I don't know, a cloud or something, where basically there's not as much force going through your muscles. Your muscles aren't activating as much. So there's not as much strain on his calf, basically, right? So, It's basically a sign that says, okay, you're not putting full weight on the calf just yet, running. So that's something to take into account.
So I posed this question, and it was strictly me posing a question. This isn't the take that I have. So, and I want to get your thoughts on it. So assuming that the Steelers are still very much interested in trading for a receiver at the deadline, it'll probably take maybe a second or a third round pick in 2025. I think that's safe to assume. Also, that conditional sixth round pick that was traded to Chicago to send Justin Fields to Pittsburgh turns into a fourth round pick if Fields plays more than 51% of the snaps. My question is, do you think that that inclines them more to play a healthy Russell Wilson over Justin Fields to limit the chances that it is a sixth round pick? Because if it becomes a fourth, then, and they trade for a receiver, then all of a sudden they're without two middle round picks. Do you think that that weighs at all on the decision process at quarterback?
Not particularly. If they think Russ is better, then they'll start Russ. If they think Justin's better, they'll start Justin. This is, first of all, Mike Tomlin has never been a guy, and I mean this, he's never been a guy to think about the offseason. If he thought about the rest of the season and the offseason right now, Roman Wilson would be playing football. He would already be out there, right? Because by the time week 15 comes around and the Chiefs come to town, Roman Wilson might be the second best wide receiver on this team if he had played a ton. He's not going to be the second best wide receiver on this team in Vegas, though. And that's just a, kind of an example I use, because what I mean is he plays the best players. He's a next game coach. He doesn't just say that. He means it. Like, he is a guy that focuses on next week and next week only. He don't look ahead. I think if Justin's the better guy that they think he's going to be, then they're going to play Justin. They don't care about that fourth round pick as much as you would think. And we'll see kind of obviously what happens with the mid round pick that you mentioned. You know, if that does turn to a fourth, it actually hinders them to maybe trade for another guy if they don't get, you know, Davante Adams. If they have to go after, say, a DeAndre Hopkins, like, they maybe you could have given up a fourth. Well, the fourth is then gone. And so, you know, maybe that hampers them a little bit there. But it's to me, at least when I look at what the Steelers kind of are going to do a quarterback, it's going to be whoever the best player is, because I don't think they're going to hamper their ability to win.
Nick Faribault covers the Steelers for PennLive.com, joining us now on the Fan Hotline. So another thing that, you know, we do when we listen to Mike Tomlin speak, you listen for how he words things. You listen for how he says things. You brought up how he worded, you know, Russell Wilson ramping him up to be the backup this week. What did you make of how Mike Tomlin described everything going on with George Pickens today? And how do you assess that situation as we sit here, you know, on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock?
Well, there's a few things. One, he knows he's his most talented weapon. So there's that. Two, I think when you kind of dove into the wording a little bit, specifically on the last question to him, which was, is the intensity of his routes and some of these routes part of his load management? And him basically saying yes, is Mike Tomlin's way of saying we sat him down because of that. And it doesn't necessarily mean a benching. Like, Tomlin never used the word benching. I don't think he would use the word benching. But Mike Tomlin's going to look at George Pickens running routes at 60%, 70% effort and say, okay, he's tired, and he's going to pull them out. So there's that. And so what I kind of have observed there was, obviously the behavior side of things is still a work in progress. He admitted that. So, you know, don't pull the guy down by his face mask at the end of the game. I think he pretty much outright admitted that is something that they were working on and talked about. And I think part of it is also him acknowledging that they are naturally going to keep his snap counts down. Like, part of this is a coaching thing too, Jack, and it makes no sense to me that they're going to pull him off the field for Calvin Austin and Van Jefferson and multiple tight end sets, but they have been doing that. That has been not just something they did last week. They had done that week one through week four. Now, they drastically reduced his snaps in week five, and I think part of that was because of his intensity of his routes, and I think that was a little bit of discipline that they had kind of levied on him, because he's still playing every three wide receiver set and a little bit of those multiple tight end sets. But that's kind of what I took from it, was, yeah, this guy, you know, does need to run his routes harder. At times we disciplined him a little bit from that, and they think he's getting better from the behavioral side of things, but he also has stuff to clean up there. So that's a lot of there, but I think there's a lot of coach speak going on there. And so,
sure,
you know, Mike Tomlin doesn't really give the media an inch, man. He
nope.
doesn't. So you got to read between the lines, and that's kind of what you took away from that. It wasn't like he was just throwing the issue up by the wayside. I think people are taking that a little too far.
Something else I brought up earlier in the first hour was Falcons fans being upset about Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts not playing a whole lot of meaningful downs last year when Arthur Smith was the Falcons head coach. George Pickens, snap count down, Pat Freiermuth's hovering around the same 73%. Is there correlation there? Because Arthur Smith is obviously the Steelers' offensive coordinator now.
For sure. There for sure is. It's interesting to me because Pat Freiermuth also doesn't play in a lot of those two tight end sets. Like, the two tight end sets are like Darnell Washington, Connor Hayward, Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, or Scotty Miller. And then sometimes even during the Cowboys game, they had pulled Najee Harris off for those, and it was Jonathan Ward or Aaron Shanklin. You were like, what is going on? One of Arthur Smith's biggest, I think, deficiencies is that he tries to get everyone involved, right? Like, everybody's got to eat in the Arthur Smith offense. I think sometimes there has to be a little selfishness from Arthur Smith to just feed the ball to George Pickens, feed the ball to Pat Freiermuth, because listen, Pickens is 22nd in targets among wide receivers this year. Freiermuth is 14th. I mean, usually those aren't alarming numbers, but there's no one else in this offense outside of those two in the passing game. Those two should be getting way more targets. You know, George Pickens should be getting the Malik Nabers like treatment. You see how they feed him in New York? He gets like 13 targets per game. Like, George Pickens should be getting 12, 13, 14 targets per game. And that he's only getting 7 right now. I just don't think it's enough for him. He's their best wide receiver by a mile. And so I definitely think that's part of it. I think they need to scheme up more stuff for Pickens, Freiermuth, and I think they need to scheme better in the run game for Najee Harris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
He's Nick Faribault, PennLive.com, covers the Steelers on the Fan Hotline. It's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC. I always struggle with HVAC. HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's how you compromise with that. All right, Nick, the edge rushers. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is the concern level for what's going on at that position group? Tomlin came out today and pretty much ruled out, you know, Highsmith, Herbig, Liao. The fan in me is very, very concerned with what's going on with that position group.
Yeah, the concern's got to be a 9 because it was a huge reason why the Cowboys were able to drive down the field twice for touchdowns late in that game. If they don't lose Herbig, I think the Steelers win that game with all the flaws that they had. I think even if they had Liao, they probably win that game. They lose both of those guys. They lose Herbig in the third, and then Liao goes down early in the fourth, and it was Jeremiah Moon and Isaiah Loudermilk across from T.J. Watt. You just saw after that, you just saw the Cowboys triple team in T.J. Watt, giving him everything. They were even, you know, sending chips inside and trying to slow down Cam Hayward and Keanu Benton. Like, that was significant, and they just didn't have anything from the other side. There was just no juice. Like, Go back and watch the fourth down play where they won on. Jeremiah Moon is like buried into the turf, and Dak is just standing there waiting for someone to get up, and there is no pass rush. The pockets were so clean after those guys got hurt. The concern is huge because, again, they don't have anyone else that has proven anything in the NFL either, right? Ade Ogundeji has played, but he wasn't very good in Atlanta. Ekuliota wasn't very good in Carolina, and they don't have anyone else. It's those four right now, and so we'll see. They're going to try and play Loudermilk outside. I think that's going to go about as well as you think it's going to go. He's just too big. He's an interior lineman, not an outside guy. So we'll see. We'll see. And they probably aren't going to be able to bring up both of the outside linebackers because they got to bring up another running back. Jonathan Ward's probably going to come up again because Patterson and Warren are both out. So they're going to need three running backs too. And so, I mean, let's be real here, Jack. The math tells me that either one of these guys has to go on IR or something. There's got to be something that happens here at this edge position where they sign a guy, bring a guy on board, you know, maybe Kyron Johnson. He's out there with the Titans practice squad. Maybe you bring him back. I mean, there could be a few things you do here.
And I believe it was the last question to Tomlin today was about Peyton Wilson and if he had any ability to be bounced outside. And Tomlin was pretty adamant very quickly and just said no. And I think I myself kind of scratched my head at that, given the fact that they are so depleted at the position. And a lot of what we heard about Peyton Wilson is when he was healthy in college, he's got tremendous athleticism at the linebacker position. So if you could kind of shed some light on that, like what about Peyton Wilson and his skill set, maybe in a situation like they're in now with the injuries at the position, prevents him from maybe bouncing to the outside a little bit?
I mean, he's big and fast and explosive, but he's not particularly good at shedding blocks. I think that's just the big thing. Even at inside linebacker, he does not shed blocks very well. That is one of his main weaknesses. He kind of wins in the run game by scraping over top and, you know, getting under blocks and doing different things there. He's not a pass rusher body. Now, he's a pretty good blitzer from the inside, and he did some stuff off the edge. I think you'll see him lining up at the edge, not as an outside linebacker, though. I think when we talk about like overload blitzing, when you have an edge rusher and a backer coming off the other side, like that's what he did. I think that is going to be really, really big probably this week. They can run some three inside linebacker stuff maybe this week against the Raiders because you're probably not going to be too fearful of that Raiders passing game, right? Whatever they're doing with the quarterbacks, Devontae Adams is probably, I'm assuming, it's not going to play. So, I mean, there are some weapons to be concerned about like Bowers and Myers, but you can run three inside linebackers, and you can do different blitz packages. Like, the inside backers are going to be so huge. And so maybe you have him be that overload guy. But he has a tough time getting off blocks anyways. If there was going to be an outside linebacker that I would – an inside linebacker that I would trust outside to go out there and shed blocks, it would be Roberts. But I'm not even sure, you know, Landon Roberts is going to be there. So I imagine your four are going to be T.J. Watt. I think it's going to be Jeremiah Moon, Loudermilk, and then one of the practice squad guys, unless they make a move here tomorrow, which is completely possible.
Nick Faribault of PennLive.com with us. And then we talk about Las Vegas. You brought the tight ends up. Brock Bowers has had one hell of a start to his NFL career. Michael Meyer as well, very good in that offense, quarterbacked by Gardner Minshew. What kind of challenges, if any, do they present the Steelers' defense that's hurting right now?
Well, they present the middle of the field challenges because that's where their best two weapons are. Again, assuming, I mean, Devontae has this trade request out and is apparently going to be back from the hamstring. I don't know if they're going to sit him or if he's going to play until he's traded. If he's not traded, I think that's a question. If he doesn't play, assuming that, Jacoby Myers has torched the Steelers in the past from the slot. I think when they went out there last year, he had over 100 yards or near that. He's done that with the Patriots before when he was there. He's just a really strong, nifty slot receiver. And so Beanie Bishop on high alert again, in my opinion. And then I just think Brock Bowers is a really fun move tight end. They can run a lot of cool 12 personnel stuff. They don't really have a ton of guys outside of them. They have DJ Turner. If you are a Pitt fan, you obviously know what DJ Turner can do. He's gotten some more. Trey Tucker's an interesting player, too, out of Cincinnati. He's a little shifty guy. So they have some guys there, but no one that really strikes the fear in you outside of Bowers, Meyer, and Myers. So they can present some challenges. We'll see who the starting quarterback is first, Jack. If Minshew gets hot, he can become a really dangerous passer. Like you saw him get hot against the Ravens, and they beat the Ravens, of course. As a result of that, he got hot against the Steelers last year and torched them with Indianapolis. If it's Aiden O'Connell, I think you just got to focus on stopping the run and try and force him into turnovers. He's got a lot of physical tools, but the processing issues are all there. And so the Steelers should be able to slow down this offense. If they can, I think, you know, I've been telling people it's not time to hit the panic button just yet on the defense, but if they can't slow them down this week, I think you can be really concerned.
So Max Crosby's really good at football. He is one of the best edge rushers in the game and obviously provides a challenge for the Steelers' offensive line that has also been suspect due to injury. We've talked a lot about Dan Moore Jr. We've talked a lot about Broderick Jones, both at offensive left tackle and right tackle. How would you assess both of those guys in the Dallas game? And are you starting to maybe see a little bit of back to neutral maybe from Broderick Jones?
Well, I think Dan Moore's still playing fine. I think he's been, you know, decent. I don't think he's been great, but he's been decent, and they've been able to get by. Broderick Jones is, I know he's not as noticeable anymore in terms of, like, he's not preseason bad, so in that regard, he has had some reversion to the mean. He still is, like, you watch the tape, and you watch some of his plays, and it's just not good. And now, they did some things against Dallas that allowed Broderick, I think, to kind of use his strengths. They let him kind of – they moved the pocket a lot. They let him get up on guys a little earlier, and he looked better there. But the run game tape is what's really concerning, Jack. He's missing guys in the run game. There were two or three runs that Najee Harris probably could have broke, and if Broderick Jones just kicks the guy out or gets his hands on the guy, he's probably – you know, he gets 5 or 6 yards on these runs, but he probably could have gotten 15. Broderick Jones is a huge net negative in the run game right now, which is significantly surprising considering what he did last year in the run game. And so I think Jones is still a very concerning player to see. I would not want Max Crosby to be on him, that's for sure. They're going to have to definitely send help his way. And so there's been some regression to the mean just because, again, he was so bad the preseason. It just was not sustainable. But he has still not been great. I would not call his play starter level through 5 weeks.
Nick Faribault of PennLive.com. He covers the Steelers. Nick, real quick, just because I saw it on X, thoughts on the Penguins pawning off the Jake Shake to Brian Rust now and calling it Rusty Shake?
Rusty Shake. Doesn't have quite the ring of Jake Shake, but
no.
I'll allow it because it's a good tradition to keep around. It's just not sure about the name. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it, but it's the same promotional stuff. Half off tomorrow to celebrate the start of the season, and then half off if he scores. Vegas this week, you know, me, Donnie, and the boys will be out there. You'll be there as well. We'll have to link up and have a good time if we can do so. I know you were there last year. Any advice? I mean, you're a young guy. I'm a young guy to a first-time Vegas goer.
Do Vegas like how you would think you should do Vegas. That's what I would say.
All right, Nick.
That's the way to enjoy it, man.
He's Nick.
That's the way to enjoy it.
Nick Faribault, PennLive.com. We'll see you out there, brother. Enjoy the rest of your night, and thanks for hopping on.
Thanks for having me on, Jack. Appreciate it.
You got it. That's Nick Faribault, PennLive.com. We'll talk a little bit more about the edge rushers coming up after the break and actually kind of react a little bit more to the Rusty Shake, because from what I just saw, it's basically the same thing as Jake Shake. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. More coming up after the break, and your phone calls as well at 412-928-9370. I'm Jack Hillgrove on the Fan Evening Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.